across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
I'm joined today by Councillor Olivia Saunders, and she is the Mayor of Brentwood. So we have met before.
We have, Michelle. Yes, I think it was a couple of years ago now, but thank you for having me back.
Yeah, it's great to see you. And you're not in your robes today.
No, a little wet for that, I think.
Yeah, it's dreadful weather out there. When did you first step into the role of Mayor?
I was sworn in on the 19th of May. I've been Deputy Mayor for 2 years. Last year, Keith Parker, who was Mayor, stepped down. So I was Deputy Mayor, but taking on the mayoral responsibility. So even though, because of the pandemic, I didn't get to do much in the way of mayoral sort of external duties, it gave me absolutely amazing experience in chairing full council. So for that, I'm very thankful, because it couldn't be quite a daunting task.
You were saying that you are available, because normally a mayor, you are out 4 days a week at events.
Oh, totally, yes. Every previous mayor has always said, you know, it's such a full-on role, and it's also the most fun you'll have, because you get to do such a variety of things you wouldn't necessarily do, whether as a resident or as a councillor.
Yeah.
So last year, when I then stepped into being Deputy Mayor, and that was what we had in Brentwood, I still got to do some events, I got to do certain flag raisings. Remembrance Day sadly wasn't the big event it should have been, for obvious reasons, so I still got to lay a wreath, which was lovely. So now, hopefully, with restrictions easing, I can have a mayoral year somewhat like my predecessors. So we are looking as a council, you know, once restrictions end, to do a lot more fundraising, put on a lot more events, which I'm really looking forward to, going back to some normality. And if anyone would like me to be present as mayor, whether it's at a school fete, whether it's a care home, an opening, anything, just get in touch via the mayor's page on the Brentwood Council website, and it'd be lovely to attend some events and represent Brentwood.
How does it work with having a job? I always presume a mayor, you just did that job, you didn't do anything else. And I also, with local councillors, until I came into local radio, I just thought that was the only job, and it's not, is it?
Funnily enough, I'm asked that almost every day at work. How am I going to be a radiographer?
Yeah.
In the NHS as well, so obviously a busy radiographer job, and be mayor? And because historically, you found a lot of mayors were retired, so they had a little bit more free time on their hands. Obviously, councillors are changing now. You're getting a lot more younger people coming through, so you will find a lot more mayors of towns like me have a full-time job. So I don't work Fridays, so I'm going to have as many busy Fridays as possible, obviously plus weekends. And I'm lucky that my job is quite flexible with time off, so I will be using leave to attend events. And if for any reason there's something I cannot do, I have my lovely Deputy Mayor, Mark Reid, who can always stand
Hello,
in.
Mark.
Hello, Mark.
With you working on the front line of the NHS, what has it been like?
Oh, it has been a year like no other. I've been a radiographer now for, it'll be 17 years this July. And, you know, we've had a virus the world has never seen before. We've had a virus that has affected the world and, you know, and individuals in a way we've never seen before. So when it came to hospital life, suddenly we're dealing with something that we had no prior experience in. There's no handbook as to what to do should something like COVID-19 ever appear. So in the early days, it was difficult, because suddenly everything, all clinics are cancelled, no relatives are allowed in, only staff that should be in are in. There's the PPE side of things. So we've got, you know, as a radiographer in theatre, I've never had to wear full PPE before. Suddenly, each of my colleagues and I are standing in theatre for 4 or 5 hours at a time in this heavy gear. Plus, I wear lead under my, because of X-ray, I wear lead as well under it. So it suddenly became a very hot and heavy job compared to normal. You know, once we got used to that environment and what to do, it suddenly became almost second nature to us. Real credit to everyone in the hospital, everyone pulled together, the teamwork, everyone became united. We all had this common problem that we all shared in every aspect of our lives, and it actually brought us a lot closer together, which was a real positive. If you can find some positives in this whole awful period, it brought us very close together, and it made everyone appreciate each other a lot. So once we got out of that first wave and we started to see some normality back, it was a bit of a sigh of relief. And, you know, we started to see elective patients again, and, you know, life felt like it was coming back to normal. Then December, January hit, and it was 10 times harder than it was first time round.
I just wanted to say there would be people out there listening that will say, and you must see stuff on social media where they say this is all a government thing. hospitals are not really that busy. It's only the elderly that get affected by COVID, not younger people. What would you say? Because you've been in the front line.
So come end of December, January time at the hospital, we had 500 people in with COVID. It was everywhere, and if you just going to intensive care to x-ray COVID patients, we've all been on intensive care as radiographers, but seeing the sight of people prone, more people in intensive care than would normally be because of resources, it was an experience that will haunt us, what a lot of the staff saw, and all credit to the intensive care staff. I saw, and actually had, you know, people say to me that it was not as bad as it was, and again, it was only for the elderly. I cannot begin to say how wrong they are, especially second time round. We started to see a lot of younger people on intensive care with it. This virus doesn't discriminate. It's got nothing to do with age. And we got through it, that awful period in December, January, but we most definitely were inundated. It was not a hoax. We did not have empty wards. It was an incredibly difficult period for everyone involved, and seeing our patients who couldn't have their relatives in was heartbreaking. You know, it wasn't done for because someone thought that would be a good idea. It was done for safety reasons. It's been heartbreaking.
You've got chosen charities.
I do.
Every
yes.
mayor has them. So tell us about the charities you've chosen and why.
So I'm going big this year. I'm having four chosen charities. My first one is for Parkinson's, and I chose this for two reasons. One, my dear grandfather had Parkinson's, and I saw how it affected him, and it's a neurological disorder, which at the moment there is no cure, so anything I can do to help that charity, it would mean a lot. And the second reason I chose Parkinson's is one of our counsellors, John Kerslake, who sadly passed away in October. He too suffered from it. And I thought, as a tribute to my grandfather and to John Kerslake, I would like to do something to honour them. Mm-hmm. And if raising money for Parkinson's was a way to do it, that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
So that's my first charity. My second charity is St Francis Hospice. Everyone has, you know, someone whose life's been touched, you know, badly affected by cancer. And what the staff at St Francis Hospice do is second to none. They give people who are at the end of their life and the relatives the most amazing care and support. And it's an honour to be able to raise money for them. Mm-hmm. My third charity is the Cardiomyopathy Association. This is possibly not a well-known disease. It affects the muscles of the heart, and this disease impacted a family I know in Brentwood. Their son Michael, sadly at the age of 21, passed away very, very suddenly from this disease. And it's, like I said, it's something that not everyone is aware of. So if I can raise some money and some awareness for cardiomyopathy, I'd like to do that to honour Michael. And my fourth charity is not medical, and it is a local charity. It's Hopefield Animal Sanctuary.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I just, I'm a massive animal lover, and what they do is, you know, it's like they care for animals like we care for patients, and it would be a real privilege to be able to raise money for Hopefield.
Yeah. Now, you were saying about Hopefield, and, you know, they have a lot of volunteers, and it is actually Volunteers Week.
It is.
So how have you been, have you met any volunteers, or you've been chatting to volunteers in Brentwood?
I volunteered myself, actually, at the vaccination hub. I've done several shifts at that. Back in March last year, when the pandemic had started to take its hold, we suddenly saw this amazing volunteering effort across Brentwood and across the country. I'd say, you know, we've suddenly, all these people who have never done anything like that came together for a multitude of reasons. At that point, I was recovering from my fourth hip operation, and, you know, no one knew how long any of this was going to last. And I was really gutted, sitting at home on crutches, unable to walk very well, and seeing all these people doing things like can in a van, getting out the leaflets about COVID awareness, the deliveries to residents for food and things. And so sitting back and watching all that was, it was really touching that people just suddenly came together. And we've seen that throughout the year in Brentwood, you know, whether it's been food banks, whether it's been local groups on WhatsApp set up to get shopping for elderly residents, pick up medicines. I've even seen on our one of the WhatsApp groups I'm on for volunteers, someone wanted a recipe for stew. Could someone pass over a recipe? Yeah. There was, you know, some like a chat. And just seeing how people immediately, there's no asking twice. The second a request goes out, people are there offering their services. And it's brought out the best in people doing this. So earlier on in the year, I've been to you know, things like the Daily Bread Cafe. There were people who were putting doing things on Zoom, like exercise classes. There was certain groups just to try and get you know, people chatting online, because social isolation during this period has been very difficult for a lot of residents. Yeah, so I hope going forwards, now restrictions are lifting, I can actually go into more of these volunteer groups in person and see them and thank them.
What's your next engagement?
My next engagement, I am going to the ordination of a soon-to-be vicar in Brentwood the end of the month.
Yeah.
So that's probably my next big duty.
Yeah.
And then hopefully at that point, with restrictions lifting, I will be doing, you know, a lot more.
It's lovely to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're welcome. That is the Mayor of Brentwood. And if you do want to find out more, if you'd like the Mayor to attend any of your events, all you need to do is take a look at the Brentwood Council website, and all the details are there.